The Holy Gospel is written in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 32nd verse. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, Lord Christ. Isn't that a great hymn? I just love that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, contrary to what I usually do, I am going to preach a sermon. Don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching on the gospel this morning. I rather decided that I was going to focus on the second lesson, the letter to the Hebrews. As it says in that letter, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Have you ever noticed that so many of the words Christianity uses are little words packed with big meaning, like God, Christ, love, sin, and of course the word for today is faith. Now, words like faith often have a churchy sound to them, and maybe even they sound boring or irrelevant, but in reality, they are rich words, words that point to vital realities. While even everyday words can have a spiritual dimension, just as the ordinary events of our lives can speak to us of holy things, a word like faith points to the realm of mystery and depth that lies beyond our ordinary experience. Perhaps in the land of beyond words, words alone cannot really convey their power. There are many things in life that are indescribable. The power of music or art, falling in love, the death of a loved one or a friend. And as Frederick Buchner writes in his book entitled Beyond Words, how can we begin to describe such things other than to say that they are ultimately indescribable? You can only know them by experiencing them yourself. Even things that are beyond words can still be talked about. The words we might use might not encompass the entire subject, but they help us get a handle on it. They help us to look at it from various angles in the hope that we might gain a little bit of understanding. And that's what I hope to do with this word faith this morning. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Did that line make you think, huh? Or did you just let it blow past you and you just went on to the next subject? Did you notice that even the author of the letter to the Hebrews wasn't really very clear on exactly what faith is? He kind of throws out that one-liner, and then he kind of treats us to a recital of actions by faithful men and women of old. Well, if we were to look up these stories that the author relates in Hebrew Scripture, we would notice that there is almost no reference to faith as a moving force behind the lives of these characters. It may be implied, but it is rarely there for us in black and white. The author of Hebrews uses the word faith in a variety of ways. Sometimes it will indicate trust or belief, and sometimes it will refer to the quality of loyalty or faithfulness. But one thing is clear. As used here, faith cannot be separated from hope. The lives of our ancestors are important to the author because those men and women lived lives of faith. The brief sketches we read and hear are to be read and heard of God's testimonies about their lives. When we think about having faith, we often mean assenting to intellectual propositions. Do we believe that there is a God? Do we believe that God is the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer of creation, of humanity, of us? Do we believe this or that about the Bible or the teachings of the church throughout the ages? Faith, as used by the author of Hebrews, is much more than a belief that there is a God. It is rather a trust that God rewards those who seek God. Faith has a long memory and profits from the experience of those who have gone before us. Faith also hopes, looking beyond the immediate to God's future and our part in it. Faith is tenacious and it's enduring, able to accept promises deferred in the conviction that even death does not cancel out God's promises. Faith is indeed the conviction of things not seen, a conviction that is firmly held, but it is more. It is the substance. It is the essence. It is the very being of things hoped for. Faith is not the permanent state of once and for all, but is often fragile and elusive. God entrusts all of us with a holy freedom. People of faith always have the option of returning to, quote unquote, the land that they had left behind. We know that land. It is the one we always view with the rose-colored glasses. It is the one that the Israelites in the wilderness longed for, as it says in the Old Testament, the land with leeks and garlic. They completely forgot that they were slaves in that land. Yes, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Our God is a God who is always calling us into new life, calling us into the future. Faith is future-oriented, trusting that God will keep God's promises. In a nutshell, faith and hope are one. And the life of faith is a pilgrimage. It's a journey. And as an example, the author of Hebrews reminds us of Abraham and Sarah. The author focuses not on God's call, but on Abraham's response. Abraham's response is expressed in obedience. Abraham sets off for a place that God has promised, not knowing where it might be. Even when he gets there, the place is not his to claim. Indeed, he and his children and his children's children sojourn as foreigners in a land of promise. Abraham anticipated a city with sure foundations, even though he spent his life living in a tent. He envisioned a city with a river flowing through it, even though he lived in a desert. The God who calls us into new life gives us a vision of the homeland we seek. And such vision enabled Abraham to remain faithful to the elusive, unseen God who called him. Such visions enabled him to live as a resident alien in a new land and to see with fresh eyes goals and values and relationships of the society encountered in the new land. The faith of Abraham and Isaiah was more than right thinking. It also involved right acting. It involved not just their minds, it involved their whole being. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, if you're thinking, this is all too much for me on this warm August morning, I want to offer you another way of thinking about all of this, about thinking about faith. Have you made pancakes lately? Or muffins? Or anything that involves a batter containing a leavening agent, like baking powder? The batter doesn't look like much, does it? And before they are baked, yeast breads give us a hint of what's to come after their time in the oven. But it's the quick breads that really surprise us. There they sit, batter in a bowl. Well, we old-timers know what to expect, and so the miracle is often wasted on us. But make waffles for a young child, and you will be reminded of the miracle expected by a hot waffle iron and a little patience. The batter goes in. You wait until the steaming stops, and viola, breakfast, slathered with butter and anointed with maple syrup. It becomes a feast. So the next time you are trying to wrap your mind around faith or worrying about, that you might not have any or have enough, just think about making waffles. And trust that what comes out of the waffle iron will look and taste better than what went in. Frederick Buechner reminds us, remember that faith is more of a process than a possession. On again, off again, once and for all. Faith is not being sure where you are going, but going anyway. Faith is a journey without maps. Amen.